our government.
Bailout.
Your government.
Energy resources.
Healthcare.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Global financial recession.
The work that needs to be done.
What's going on? Well, that means Monday morning is a look at the agenda in Washington, the kinds of things that we want you to stay, focused on this week as we look ahead. And there's a lot to look at. Not a lot of atmospherics. There's hard policy being made in Washington. Today, the toxic asset program gets announced. Tomorrow, Barack Obama gives a news conference. Later on in the week, a multilateral conference on Afghanistan convenes with the U.S., Russia, and Iran all in attendance. Hillary Clinton is going to be in Mexico to talk about all of this. Marcus Mabry, international business editor of The New York Times, joins me here in the studio. Marcus, thanks for joining.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here in this lonely studio all by myself. Thank you so much. Also, Jay Newton Small, Washington correspondent for Time Magazine in Washington, D.C. We welcome her back to the program. Jay, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk right at the beginning here with the Geithner show, which convenes once again. Timothy Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury, is going to outline, along with other members of the administration, his plan for dealing with the so-called toxic assets. Jay Newton Small, how important is this? And Geithner's gotten mixed reviews as he's been rolled out on various occasions, at least as far as the market is concerned.
Well, look, Geithner isn't the first Treasury Secretary to not be the most eloquent of guys. I don't think Hank Paulson was ever accused of being charming or, well, at least not being able to charm politicians very well or that eloquent, frankly, about the economy. So, Geithner's off to a rocky start, and this is the most important program of his tenure at Treasury, no doubt. This is what they expect will be the engine to restart the economy, and he's announcing it this morning on a conference call with reporters at 8:45 a.m.
Note for a moment that Geithner, for all of his troubles, is kind of going solo at this point. He doesn't have much in terms of his team, and it's something that Barack Obama actually referred to when he spoke on 60 Minutes yesterday. Take a listen.
You know, this whole confirmation process, as I mentioned earlier, has gotten pretty tough. It's been always tough. It's gotten tougher in the age of 24/7 news cycles, and a lot of people who we think are about to serve in the administration and Treasury suddenly say, well, you know what, I don't want to go through some of the scrutiny and embarrassment in addition to taking huge cuts in pay.
Now, that's in the context of, first of all, the difficulties of being president in the 21st century in the midst of all this. But Jay Newton Small and Marcus, maybe let me direct this to you, Marcus. Geithner doesn't have his deputies named yet. The confirmation process has already been difficult. He's doing this kind of solo.
He is. He really is out there by himself. And to some extent, if you watch that 60 Minutes interview last night with the president keeps saying how, oh, Tim's doing a great job and, you know, I've got utmost confidence in him. And it kind of keeps feeling like he's pushing Tim out there and saying, you know, Tim's your man. Tim's really trying. I really believe in Tim. when in fact, it's the president who I think is responsible for the support the administration still has going in on this.
Still a smart move, though, really.
Oh, well, you know, look, the Treasury Secretary has to be the guy leading this. It has to be. You need one single force, one single personality out there, and hopefully Geithner will find his stride this week. But, you know, the story this week is going to be this. It's going to be money palooza.
Right.
So you got, banks, you got budget, and you got bailouts. And so that was the bank piece of it. Bailout piece is going to be that AIG is going to continue to harass this administration. Right. And going forward, it's going to be the $3.6 trillion budget,
right,
which is really going to be something that we're going to be talking about a lot this week as the House and Senate take them up.
Before we talk about the budget, Control Room, were you recording there where he said money palooza? I want to make sure that we were recording on that. Yeah. to both of you, Jay and Marcus, there's a separation of powers issue here. When the government is borrowing so much, and so much of financial policy is the result of Treasury decisions and Federal Reserve decisions,
sure,
it's almost as though, Jay, the White House is more powerful than Congress. The power to collect and lay taxes in the Constitution is not as important as your ability to borrow in this environment, and they can get this entire program passed without even going to Congress. Right, Jay?
Well, I mean, they can start it without going to Congress, but they can't finish it. I mean, what they're going to need to do is go back to Congress, and Geithner already laid out a sort of play setter in the budget this year, up to about $750 billion in a sort of TARP I don't know, what is it, 2.5, TARP 3, TARP 4 now, that's going to happen, which is the Toxic Assets Relief Program. They're going to have to go back to Congress and ask for more money at some point. Obviously, this week is probably not the week they're going to do it, since Congress has still got a big bee in their bonnet about AIG and these bonuses that are paid out to these executives. But they're going to have to go back soon and ask for that money, because they cannot do it without it.
The budget is definitely, both of you referred to, the budget is definitely on the agenda this week. But I'm wondering if the budget is the Democrat budget, that there will be actually an alternative that's suddenly proposed by the Democrats, or are we going to see some serious modifications of the Obama budget? Marcus, you first, and then Jay.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Democrats play this, because with the president's first shot at fiscal policy, they didn't really let Republicans in. We're going to see if they do it this time, because the Republicans have complained they've not been a part of the process. If it's a Democrat versus Democrat debate, then I don't think that's going to be politically successful.
All right, well, let's listen to some of those complaints. Here's Democratic Senator Kent Conrad complaining about the budget and complaining about the deficits. And, Jay, I want your response when we come back.
We have got to get back to a more sustainable fiscal circumstance. We cannot have debt pile on top of debt. We cannot run budget deficits in the out years of over $1 trillion a year.
Jay Newton-Small, he can say that all he wants, but that's what they're doing.
Well, they definitely, the budget this week, the Congressional Budget Office report on the president's budget this week was a big blow to them, because, you know, Obama had been saying that he'd like to see the budget go back down to about 3% of GDP right now, or this year it'll be about 6% of GDP, which is the gross domestic product. Basically what the Congressional Budget Office said was, actually, we're going to stay about 4 to 6% of gross domestic of GDP for the next 10 years, and it's going to be $1 trillion deficit as far as the eye can see. So, in terms of trying to convince Republicans or convince even fiscally conservative blue dogs in the House to vote for this thing, that was probably not the best PR-ish item to come out this week, but they don't really need Republicans to vote for this.
Right.
I mean, they need about two in the Senate, but other than that, you know, they've just got to hold their own.
So at the news conference, will that argument be made, Marcus, on Tuesday? Come in from the cold, Republicans, or just forget about it?
Well, you know, I think actually he's not going to be any more conciliatory than he has been. He's viewed by the public, the president, that is. He's viewed by the public as having been conciliatory toward the Republicans and reaching out. I think what the Tuesday press conference is going to be about, it's going to be about making sure that this week does not become like last week was, you know, a tribute to AIG in the excess of its $165 million in bonuses. He's going to try to emphasize we can not, as he said last week, he's going to try to emphasize that we've got to keep moving forward. We cannot keep looking backwards at things like the AIG bailout, because frankly, as Jay said, they're going to be looking at next week the auto companies. And the president actually said this weekend that it will be politically difficult to help the auto companies. That's kind of extraordinary.
And there may be another AIG problem. Richard Holbrooke, the Afghan envoy long-standing diplomat, was on the AIG board in early 2008 when these bonuses were locked in. Let's not talk about that for a moment, but it's likely to come up this week. Hillary Clinton is in Mexico. To both of you, this is both a domestic story and a foreign story. Marcus, is it drug wars, or is it actually political stability in Mexico that's on the table when the Secretary of State goes to Mexico?
Well, she's going to be talking about the $500 million Merida initiative, as they call it, the State Department, which is an interagency U.S. plan, $500 million to help Mexico fight crime and especially drugs and drug interdiction, and give the Mexicans some more force behind them that the Americans are sponsoring. But the Mexicans are going to want to talk about Mexican trucks and how the president signed a bill in Congress that keeps those trucks off the road. The Mexicans slapped on a bunch of punitive tariffs against American products, represented by some 40 states. So that's what they're going to want to talk about. She's going to talk about drugs.
All right. So Jay Newton-Small, as a consumer, as an auto consumer, would you buy a Nano?
Well, you know, I already have a car, but hey, I mean, like, these little, it's got good gas mileage. Why not?
Well, Marcus Mabry, this may be the week that is remembered for the introduction of the Nano, the Indian car made by the Tata company, which is supposed to be like build it yourself. Couple of thoughts on that.
Well, the Nano is a spectacular feat of engineering. It will not be available in the American road anytime soon, because it'll have to put in a lot more environmental and safety.
And it's so small, it goes in your glove box. That's the agenda. Marcus Mabry, thanks for being with us. International business editor of the New York Times, and Jay Newton-Small, Washington correspondent for Time magazine in Washington. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.